Nick Schinkel, the director of the West Lafayette Public Library, reviews The Optimist's Handbook, A Companion to Hope, and The Pessimist's Handbook, A Companion to Despair. Compiled in one book, you just flip the book over if you want to read the opposite viewpoint. Each side is grouped into different topics: life, love, death, science.
From The Optimist's Handbook, A Companion to Hope. Humanity's story is one long testimony to the truth that life is as rewarding and beautiful as you make it. As pioneers, inventors, and dreamers have always known, you can do anything if only you persevere. Ever since we hauled ourselves out of the swamp, our history has been one of extraordinary cultural and technological progress, of mind-boggling discoveries and remarkable achievements, often against the odds. It's no coincidence that you see no statues of pessimists in city squares. On the other hand, why beat around the bush? The truth is that life is a never-ending cycle of toil and pain with nothing but death to reward all our suffering. Furthermore, what solace is there in blind optimism or fanciful daydreaming when it is perfectly clear that the world is heading toward a complete meltdown, whether we live in it or not? Resigning yourself to life's grim treadmill and therefore avoiding more disappointments is the best way to trudge forward. Well, today's book asks that perhaps eternal or at least long-time question: are you an optimist or a pessimist? Whichever you are, or whichever point of view you may lean towards on any given day, this book is for you. It's a twofer. The Optimist's Handbook, A Companion to Hope. The Pessimist's Handbook, A Companion to Despair. Whichever part you read, and you get to flip them over to read them, it is packed with pithy quotes and observations about life that are sure to bring a smile or a sad nod to your face or to your head or to whatever part of your body you like to smile and nod with. Here are a couple of quotes that I thought I'd share early on. These, interestingly enough, come from the optimist side of the book. Nancy Astor was the first female member of the British Parliament, lived in the early part of the last century, and upon seeing all her children at her bedside during her last illness in 1964, she is quoted as saying, "Am I dying, or is this my birthday?" And as if that were not enough, here's another fanciful moment from the optimistic side of life, as we read, "Recent excavations in Serbia, dating back 7,500 years, show that young women of the Serbian Neolithic tribes wore short tops and miniskirts, not dissimilar to those of today. Fashion was evidently an essential ingredient of being human, even in prehistoric times." Yes, this is a book, whether you read once again from the Optimist's Handbook or the Pessimist's Handbook, this is exactly the type of book you want to carry with you, to bother your friends and those you wish were your friends with one bon mot after another, as you say, "Hey, listen to this. But wait, there's more." And worry not, dear listener. The Optimist's Handbook is graced by a beautifully hand-drawn white cover with a small paper parasol hovering above a glass that is, yes, half full. Whereas the pessimist side of the book is realistically covered with a dead bug floating in a glass, half empty, red print on, of course, a black cover. How real and true to life is that? The authors quoted with the witty moments of thought range from east to west, north to south, ancient to contemporary. There are proverbs from ancient Chinese sages and thoughts from actor Pierce Brosnan, perhaps best known as Agent 007, At one point, he's quoted as saying, we'll let you discover the ancient Chinese proverbs yourself. At one time, Pierce Brosnan is quoted as saying, and this is from the pessimistic side of things, so, fame. Fame is like a big piece of meringue. It's beautiful, and you keep eating it, but it doesn't really fill you up. Isn't that so true? At least we would think Pierce Brosnan would know. Both sections feature witty comments on similar topics. For instance, both the optimists and the pessimists have something to say about war. And in the optimist side, war quotes range from Florence Nightingale to George W. Bush to General Schwarzkopf to German Kaiser Wilhelm. And okay, not all the optimistic statements are candidly true, but neither, one can argue, are all the pessimistic statements true either. At least you can argue that point when you hear that in the pessimist side of looking at war, we get to hear from such folks as Gore Vidal, Albert Einstein, Neville Chamberlain, you can only imagine, Mahatma Gandhi, and yes, Herbert Hoover. Perhaps, indeed, the only major failing of the Optimist's Handbook, the Pessimist's Handbook, is that at times the book tries to be too contemporary, and that refers to what I was just speaking. For good or for ill, it is difficult, at least in the year 2009, to take many of the quotes from some of these folks, and I'll point out former President Bush here, as optimistic statements of hope. If you read the optimistic statements in the Middle East section of the Optimist Handbook and the War section of the Optimist Handbook, a little difficult to say in 2009 that, hey, that was a wonderfully prescient, optimistic observation on what was going to happen. Oddly, even though this book is a British publication, there is little from the most contemporary British prime ministers, to pick on our British friends for a moment here. Tony Blair is almost absent. Oddly enough, he does show up in the war section next to George W. Bush, and you gotta wonder, is there something more going on here than just a happy, optimistic view of life? And Margaret Thatcher, bless her heart, makes her fair share of appearances, both in the optimist and in the pessimistic side of things. And so it's in terms of politically looking at life, this book is fair to just about all sides. Indeed, Margaret Thatcher is quoted in the optimist side of things as having stated, "The cocks may crow, but it's the hen that lays the egg." A little something to think about, perhaps. And perhaps the competing sections on youth, from the optimistic point of view, from the pessimistic point of view, say it best. There is something to be said for optimism and for pessimism as a way of looking at life. In some ways, perhaps they both complement each other. Perhaps they both look at things that give us something a little more to think about. Here, for instance, is the pessimist's point of view of that time of life that we like to call youth. From Oscar Wilde. "The youth of the present day are quite monstrous. They have absolutely no respect for dyed hair." And this from a French essayist from the 17th century, just in case you think that complaining about young people is something new. Oh my gosh, no. Here we are, 17th century French essayist, quoted as saying, "Children are haughty, disdainful, angry, envious, curious, interested, lazy, fickle, shy, self-indulgent, liars, deceivers. They do not wish to suffer evil, but like to do evil." On the other hand, there is, of course, the optimistic view of life, and the optimists have something to say about youth as well. Here's Jean Piaget, the famous Swiss philosopher, who is quoted as saying, "If you want to be creative, stay in part a child, with the creativity and invention that characterizes children before they are deformed by adult society." And even Marcel Proust has something good to say about being young. It is this. Adolescence is the only time when we can learn something. Still, for all its faults, and there are a few, it's difficult not to like a book that gives us not one, but two ways of looking at life, and indeed even the biographies of the authors. There are two authors of this book, The Optimist's Handbook and The Pessimist's Handbook. Even the biographies give us two ways of looking at themselves. Here's the optimistic view of Niall Edworthy and Petra Kramsey, just a little bit from each. About Niall, we learn he is the celebrated author of 20 books, making him a hero to many around the globe. Commentators say it is just a matter of time before he sweeps the board of literary awards, turns down a seat in the House of Lords, and retires from his estate in the home counties to a tropical island, a robust eight-figure millionaire philanthropist. His co-author, in her dazzling early career, launching exhibitions, publishing magazines, editing books, and writing for television, Petra Kramsey added considerably to the gaiety of nations. She now lives in a rural idyll above the Golden Valley, secure in the knowledge that tomorrow will be even better than today. Blessed with children, Petra often reminds those citizens of a brighter future, that a day without a smile, yes, is like a day without sunshine. But as I said, there is the downside to life as well, or perhaps the realistic side to life, the pessimist side to life. As we learn about these same two authors, over the past decade, Niall Edworthy has made a poor to modest living as a jobbing hack, an ongoing disappointment to his dysfunctional family and both his friends. Niall spends his days in a cold garage in the middle of nowhere, typing nonsense into an old computer with the one finger not yet afflicted by repetitive strain injury. And about his co-author, about whom we just heard glowing and optimistic thoughts, after years spent toiling at various unrewarding employments, Petra Kramsey left London to face the vicissitudes of middle age. She and her dependents live in a godforsaken, wind-tormented spot opposite the Black Mountains. When she is not up to her eyeballs in relentless domestic drudgery, she spends her time contemplating the exact size, shape, and texture of the handbasket in which the world is going to hell. But I couldn't leave without one P.S. and without giving you two more pithy quotes. One final note, the P.S. It seems that optimists, interestingly enough, are more likely to actually purchase this book than pessimists. We don't have word yet on library checkouts. I'm sure we'll get that after a couple more months here. One great online retailer tells us that the Optimist Handbook, Pessimist Handbook, is most frequently purchased with that gem of lighthearted schmaltz, Dewey the small-town library cat who touched the world. And if that doesn't give you something to discuss, perhaps these two final quotes will. The first one from our good friend D.H. Lawrence, who had this to say in, I guess, an optimistic moment in his life. For man, the vast marvel is to be alive. For man, as for flower and beast and bird, the supreme triumph is to be most vividly, most perfectly alive. Whatever the unborn may know, they cannot know the beauty, the marvel of being alive in the flesh. The dead may look after the afterwards, but the magnificent here and now of life and the flesh is ours, and ours alone, and ours only for a time. We ought to dance with rapture that we should be alive and in the flesh and part of the living, incarnate cosmos. And finally, we mentioned that there are some ancient wise sayings in here. Here's one that is attributed as an Irish blessing. May you die in bed at 95, shot by a jealous spouse. That from the Optimist's Handbook, A Companion for Hope, and the Pessimist's Handbook, A Companion to Despair. Both of them available at all of our fine libraries in the area, and certainly at the West Lafayette Public Library.
Nick Schenkel is the director of the West Lafayette Public Library, and he's reviewed The Optimist Handbook, A Companion to Hope, and The Pessimist Handbook, A Companion to Despair, published by Free Press in 2008.